Okay, we've explained in the past that the difference between Amalek and our other enemies was the fact that Amalek were atheists, whereas our other enemies at that time at least were idol worshippers. And the difference between an idol worshipper and an atheist is an idol worshipper at least believes that there is some rhyme and reason to this world, that there are intelligent forces that guide the world, and an atheist believes everything is chance, coincidence, accident, and therefore there's no rhyme and reason to the world, and there's no future. There's only a present, because if an accident is going to happen in the future, it's going to be an accident. And there's no purpose to the world. And therefore, if we find some key words regarding our relationship to Amalek, in the fact that the word mochar, tomorrow, appears in the wars with Amalek, both in the Torah and in the Navi, because Amalek has no tomorrow. We fight with them always with our tomorrow. They come against our derech. There's, according to Amalek, there's no path to the world because there's no purpose. So everything is just an accident. And therefore there can't be any path, there can't be any future. And it could be for that reason, the name of God, Shem Yudke Vovke, both means that the Rabbanu Shalom created the world, meaning there's purpose and there's a plan, and it also represents the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom is past, present, and future. Because there's only a past, present, and future if there is an intelligent creator. And if, in fact, and I just want to go on a side point now on this idea, that if, in fact, there is no purpose to the world, and there is no plan, and there's no intelligent creator who created it and guides it, then everything is just the here and the now. And that really was Esav, who was the grandfather of Amalek, that was his view of the world, right? Esav, the word Esav means asui, finished, and he was a hunter. He just wanted to go into the forest and kill an animal, everything for the immediate gratification. Nothing for the future, only for the here and the now. And therefore, that kind of life has no importance to it. There's no intrinsic importance to life that's just for the present. Right? And that's what it says in Pirkei Avos. We'll explain this a little bit better in a second. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Yofa Shoachas, Shokoras Ruach Ba'olam Haba Mikol Chayei Olam Hazeh, that 1 second of peripheral pleasure in the world to come is greater than the sum total of all pleasure in this world. This world is nothing compared to eternity. And we've given the example in the past that if this world is just the seconds between when you're born and when you die, and how much pleasure you can fill into those seconds, then this world is, life is a very, very depressing thing, which can be compared to a person standing outside the delivery room waiting for news of his wife's impending birth, and the doctor comes out and says, your wife just gave birth to a child. The child was born with a terminal disease that it can't survive. The man says to the doctor, give me some hope. There's a cure. No, there's no cure. You're looking for a cure. No, we gave up long ago. Someone survived this terrible disease miraculously. Never. So what's the name of this terrible disease? So the name of the disease that your child contracted upon birth is called life. Some people have survived 90, 100. We don't know how long it's going to take. But we know one thing. Whoever contracts the disease called life when he's born eventually dies from it. And that's what Esav said. Hinei anochi holeich lamus. I'm on my way to die. You're born, you begin to die. And therefore, there is no real importance. If you, the whole purpose of life is to fill it up with pleasure here. This here and the now is the end goal, right? Immediate gratification. So really, no second of life has any intrinsic value, because you can't have any pleasure in 1 second. And even if you have a lot of seconds, you have to have quality of life. if you're in a coma in a hospital, right, even if you're 20 years old, you don't have any quality of life. So in order for life to be important, it has to have quality and quantity. A lot of time and quality life. Then it can be important in this world. But otherwise, not anything. And Haman himself, who was an Amaleki, who was an atheist, who didn't believe in any purpose to this world, no future, only the present, he said, he had everything. And Chol Zeh Neinu Shoveh Li, it's not worth anything, because the more you have, the more you want. Right? If you look at pleasure, at the attainment of things and experiences as what your purpose in life is, then you'll never have enough, because whatever you have, you want more. And the more you have, the more you want. However, the opposite is also true. If there's a plan, there's a future, there's an eternity, right? And this world is a preparation for the world to come, then this world's even greater than the world to come. Because here in this world, every second, whatever you're doing, whatever quality of life you have, even 1 second, you can create eternity. A person can create his world to come in 1 second. Right? As the Gemara says of a famous sinner who in 1 second intensely repented and died. And he acquired his world to come in that 1 second. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, when he heard this maisa, cried. And he said, a person can acquire his olam haba in 1 second. And they explained, why was he crying? Because you can do it every second. Every second in this world, on any level, even in a coma in the hospital, you can still think if you're still alive. And even if you're not thinking through your brain, your neshama can think. And as long as it's connected to your body, it can change your eternity. And in 1 second, you can repent. You can do a mitzvah of loving God, fearing God, all the mitzvahs you can do with thought. And you can think about doing mitzvahs that you can't do, and you get rewarded as if you did them. So in that respect, it says that 1 second of tshuva and ma'asim tovim in this world is greater than the whole next world. Because whatever you have in the next world, you have. In this world, you can create more and more. And every second has the potential of eternity. And that's how I explained the Medrash. The Medrash says Rabbi Akiva was giving a drasha, a class, and his students began to fall asleep. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. And he wanted to wake them up. So he said to them, what did Esther see that enabled her to rule over 127 provinces? Let Esther, the great-great-granddaughter of Sarah, who lived 127 years, rule over 127 provinces. So they all woke up. What is their connection between Sarah's 127 years and Esther's 127 provinces, except it's the same number? And Rabbi Akiva went on. And I think what he was telling them is the following. Rabbi Akiva said, it says that Sarah Imenu didn't just live 127 years, that 127 years passed over her. But it says, Shnei Chayi Sarah, Kulam Shavim Latova. All of Sarah's 127 years were equally for the good. Now, it doesn't mean they were equally good, because they weren't. The 90 years that she was barren weren't the same as the 37 years she had Yitzchak. The day they dragged her to Paro was not the same as the day they celebrated Yitzchak's bris. They weren't equally good, but they equally were for the good. You can't control the situations that come your way. God controls them. But you can control, with your free choice, how you deal with them. And you can direct all of them for the good. Because if you realize that even the difficult times in this world can be used for creating eternity, then they also can be used for the good. And good usually means something eternal. The more substantive it is, the more good it is, the more it has a reality to it. Good means what is real, and what's real is eternal. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva said, just like Sarah Imenu used every second of her life for the good, to create eternity. Esther learned from her, because Esther had a real miserable life. And she was plucked away from her husband, her family from the Jewish people, forced to be the wife of a goy. Her children, right, her son, Koresh, considered himself a goy. This was not the nachash she was looking for in life, right? And she considered being the queen of Persia a destruction of her existence. Yet she made the best of it. And she ruled over 127 provinces, and she saved the Jewish people. What gave her the power to do that? She constantly looked to Sarah, who also had a difficult life, and yet used every second for the good. So Esther also utilized even the difficult times for eternal good. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva said, it's not easy to keep your eyes open during a shir. But it's not more difficult than it was for Sarah or difficult for Esther. And therefore, what's it called? Make the best of it. Okay. This idea, I think, is reflected in the Sedra also. This whole idea that the whole importance of this world is only that a person should do in this world what he can create eternity from. That this idea that this world is a preparation room to a castle. Prepare yourself in the preparation room in order that you should be able to get into the castle. That's the whole purpose of this world, is a preparation for the castle. So this idea, I think, is brought out in the following. Before they consecrated the Kohanim and began the Avoda in the Mishkan, right, the Kohanim had to sit 7 days in the Mishkan, right, and focus their attention that this is the purpose of life. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai. That I should be able to sit in God's home my entire existence and whatever I do in this world. And that's the idea of Avoda, the service to the Ribbono Shel Olam, right, was for the sake of preparing, of being, of feeling that feeling that everything I'm doing, my entire life, 7 days represent the 70 years of a person's life. With everything that we have in number seven, all the holidays, Achasana, Avelis, represents the totality of existence. 70 years is a person's average lifespan, right? Yimeshnu, Seinu, Bohem, Shivim, Shana. So the 7 days represent those 70 years. Those 70 years are supposed to put you and focus you on one thing, how you can create in those 70 years your ability to sit in God's place for the rest of your existence eternally. So therefore, as they prepared to consecrate the Avoda, the service to God in this world, they sat 7 days in the Mishkan to realize that's the purpose. That's how important Avoda is. It creates eternity. And that's the purpose of the 70 years in this world. We find the same thing by Moshe Rabbeinu. Before he went to get the Torah, he also spent 7 days totally focused on the idea that the whole purpose of this world is to be able to come to the world to come where you have that relationship with God. So before he entered into the place where God was, Kibiyachol, to get the Torah, he spent 7 days concentrating on that and focusing on that. Because that was the purpose of the Torah too. The purpose of the Torah in this world is to create eternity. That's the purpose of this world. The same thing we find by the Kohen, who would burn the Parah Aduma, who would make the Parah Aduma in order to purify people from their bad character traits, from Tumah. Right, from spiritual defilement, that you came in contact with the dead. Because we said that people who don't understand that this world is a means to reach an end and therefore has eternal potential in it, basically are living a long death. They begin to die when they're born. So the whole idea of death, right, is if you only see this world as an end in itself. So to purify somebody from that, the Kohen, who made the Parah Aduma, had to spend 7 days focusing on what the purpose of life was, that being in God's presence eternally is what you create in this world. And therefore the Kohen Gadol, before Yom Kippur, before he would enter in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where God's presence was, just like before we enter into the world to come, he spent 7 days, which represent the 70 years in this world, concentrating that is the purpose, that's the goal. Could be for this reason, since Amalek were atheists, and like we said, there is no purpose in life for an atheist. It has no purpose. There can't be any purpose for an accident. So that's why they weren't afraid to fight against us. Even though after the splitting of the Red Sea, we were like a hot bath in the eyes of the nations of the world, they were afraid to touch us. But for two reasons. One is they attributed the splitting of the Red Sea to some intelligent power. Maybe not to God. But some, the wind god, the sea god, and they were afraid that that god would take revenge on them if they started up with the Jewish people. So we were untouchable in their eyes. But in addition, they valued their lives. Because there's a purpose to life, right? If you're at least an idol worshiper, bring there some purpose to this world, right? So they valued their lives. They didn't want to jump into the hot bath and get burned. But Amalek, on the one hand, attributed the splitting of the Red Sea to total accident. So why should they be afraid? It's going to happen again. And at the same time, they didn't value their lives, so why not jump in? People who don't believe that there's any purpose to life are prone to commit suicide. And that's also Amalek. Well, what's it called? They saw no value to their life, and they saw no reason to be afraid of the Jewish people, so why not jump in and get burnt? And therefore, we were vulnerable to Amalek the first time when we were in the desert and we needed water and we questioned whether God was with us. It could be that what our question was the following. Maybe God only does spectacular things, but to give water, which is only this temporal existence, right, to exist another few minutes in this world because you won't die of thirst, who said that's important? We weren't so sure that God would get involved and perform miracles just for a glass of water. Is it so important? But if life every second is eternal, has a potential in eternity, then it's worth for God to get involved even for 1 second of life, even for a drink of water. And this is what the Simcha of Purim is. Purim reminds us how important life is. That there's a purpose to life. That God is always around. And that even our physical lives, because we weren't going to, Haman wasn't going to make a sin. He would have just killed us. So we would have gone to Olam Haba. So we would have had the world to come. All that we would lose is this world. And yet God did miracles in order to preserve our physical existence, because this world is extremely important, because here's where we create that eternity. And that's why we find this idea of eternity crop up over and over again in the Purim theme. In Shoshana Yaakov, mentioned twice. Chuasam ha'yisol ha'netzach. God saves us. His salvation is for the sake of eternity. Lo yikomu ha'netzach. We will not be insulted forever. There's an eternity. And ultimately, the Jewish people are going to enjoy that eternity. That's why by Shmuel, it says the Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir, the eternity of Klal Yisrael will not be false. There's an eternity for Klal Yisrael. That's what we fight Amalek with. They only have the here and the now. We have eternity. And when you have eternity, then every situation in life, if you don't look at it as an end in itself, it's an end in itself. Then if you're suffering, you're suffering. But if there's an eternal purpose to everything, then even suffering in this world serves the purpose of creating eternity. You can even be happy with the suffering. You won't be having fun, but you'll realize that there's a purpose to it. It'll give you a certain satisfaction. And that's why it says that a person who understands that everything is for a purpose and everything can create eternity can accept even the difficult times in life, the simcha. And that's why there's another time in the year when there's special simcha after Yom Kippur. after Yom Kippur, we appreciate just being alive, because we just prayed for our lives on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. When you can appreciate being alive, that life itself is important, and life, every second of life, has in it the seeds of eternity, then you can be happy. And that's why after Yom Kippur, we sit in the sukkah 7 days again, representing our 70 years in this world, sitting in God's presence in order to enjoy that presence eternally in the next world. And that's why there's a connection between Purim and Yom Kippur. In this respect also, Yom Kippurim is a day like Purim, meaning it gives us an appreciation of the value of every second of life, which leads to the ultimate simcha. And that's why we read the Megillah at night and in the day, because night is a representation of the difficult times of life. Daytime is the happy times of life. But if you know how to call out to God during the difficult times, then ultimately that leads to the happy times. And it's interesting, the main Megillah reading is in the daytime. The nighttime is only auxiliary. And the Megillah reading is supposed to represent this idea that we cried out to God night and day. We cried out to Him in the difficult times, because then we could be able to cry out to Him even in the happy times, when we'll have that connection to Him. That the crying out is to have that connection all the time. And that's why Purim was instituted on 2 days. We have today and tomorrow. There's always that tomorrow. And that is the idea of the mitzvah of eating and drinking on Purim. Because eating and drinking shows the importance of this physical world. Eating and drinking preserves your physical existence. So we can be happy even with the physical existence itself. And that's why we send food to our neighbors, to let them continue their physical existence and realize how important it is. And that's why we give presents to the Evyon. The Evyon has nothing. He has nothing except his life. And that in itself is worth celebrating. That in itself is worth giving presents for. Just the existence itself in this world. And that's the idea of Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. Adar teaches us that God is always there. There's purpose to this world. And this world is a preparation for a future world of eternity, and therefore you can be simcha in everything, everywhere you turn. Whereas during Av, the month of Av represents when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and God's presence left, and the Torah was diminished. If you don't have those tools for eternity, then there's no simcha, then there's no reason to rejoice. So you diminish your rejoicing when the tools for eternity were diminished during Av, and you increase your simcha and your joy during the month of Adar, when you realize that every single thing in this world is a tool for eternity. It could be that's a reason why there's an Indian to get drunk, Adalo Yoda, till you don't know between Haman and Mordechai, right? But the idea being that before the sin of Adam HaRishon, he didn't have to know. He didn't have the idea of good and bad, the tree of knowledge. He was drawn towards the good, because that's where substance was in this world. That's what was true. And the bad was false, and it didn't exist. So he was drawn naturally towards the good, because that's what was substantive, that's what was real, that was what was eternal. And the sheker, the falsehood, the evil didn't exist. It was non-existent. So he was gravitated, even without thinking, like a magnet draws the metal to it. He was drawn to God's presence because he felt that's where reality is. That's what's real in this world. He didn't need to understand it and to think about it. His free choice was more or less automatic. And it was all to be gravitated from this world towards the next world, towards eternity. So that's the idea. When you get drunk, Adalo Yada, you don't know the difference, but you're gravitated anyway towards that good, innately. That's what Purim is all about. And therefore, the evil is cursed. It's not just bad, but it's something that, is curse means that it doesn't have any existence. Just like bracha, bracha means to increase. What's real in this world, what's substantive, what can be increased. You can only increase something. You can't multiply zero. You have to have something to multiply. The word bracha means to multiply. That's what's real. And sheker, which is false, is error. It's something the opposite. It's diminished. It has no way of increasing it. It's just the opposite. It constantly is decreased because it's zero. It's nothing. And therefore, the hint to Haman and Mordechai and Esther, the Gemara says, Haman is hinted to in the Torah, Hamin ha'etz. Did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat from? Which shows this idea, instead of worrying about eternity, they were interested in getting some nice, delectable fruit right now. Right? And enjoying the here and the now, even when it contradicted and destroyed their eternity. That's Haman. Haman is Amalek. Amalek is immediate gratification, not looking to a future, only enjoying the present. And Esther represented the fact that even when God is hidden, and that future is hidden, but it's there, you believe it's there. God hides his face, but sometimes he hides the hidden face and uncovers it, like by Esther. And that's Mordechai. Mordechai is hinted to in the Shemen HaMishcha, in the spices, the aromatic spices that went in to the anointing oil, because spices is something that the neshama enjoys. The enjoyment in this world is not for the body. It's that the neshama should enjoy this world, what's it called, by doing what creates eternity and the eternity for the neshama in the next world. And therefore, the sins that caused the Gzeira of Haman, that necessitated the miracles of Purim, were two. One is they bowed down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. They were more concerned about saving their temporal life than doing that which is good for their eternal life. By bowing down, right, they saved their temporary life, but sacrificed their eternal life. And that was the same thing, the second sin. They enjoyed the party of Achashverosh. They had immediate gratification by enjoying the party, but it was celebrating their downfall that they wouldn't be redeemed. So even though the gratification contradicted their future, they were willing to enjoy the present, even though it represented that they had no future. That is the antithesis of what Torah is. That's what Amalek stands for. And therefore we were vulnerable to Haman because of those two sins. And that's the whole idea of Purim, is to tell us that we are a great nation that have a closeness to God. We have a Torah that can enhance that closeness. And God is always there for us when we call out to Him. He hears our prayers, and prayer is for this world. You pray for things in this world, but you do it in order to create the world to come. Prayer is for this world. Torah is really for the next world. But you pray in order to have the wherewithal to be able to fulfill the Torah, to be able to create that world to come from this world. That's what Purim is all about. It's understanding that this world is the prelude to the world to come.